That on now? Yeah, I guess it is. All right. I apologize for my voice. I had to preach at a 9 o'clock service somewhere this morning, and just got here. So appreciate the opportunity to bring a message here as well, and pray. I told the people over there, I said, you guys got the best of all possible worlds, because there's no way I can go over this morning. I've got to be out of here to another service. But the title of today's message is Touching Heaven to Change Earth. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Father, as we now open your word and look at this all-important topic of prayer. Lord, I just pray, as I always do, that the Holy Spirit would be the real teacher here today, that you would give us ears to hear, Lord, and then give us the courage to apply that which we have learned. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to speak. I pray always that I present the word clearly and accurately in such a way that the Spirit of God can use it. Thank you for each of the people that are here today and each family that's represented. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about prayer for a while now, and I believe God has been working on my heart. I know He has. I accidentally stumbled on a book. Now, accidents for the Christian accidentally are God's things that He's lined up but chooses to remain anonymous, okay? They are coincidences on reality, God's initiative, but He chooses to remain. As I said, the book was written by Pastor Tony Evans, entitled Kingdom Prayers. If you saw the movie War Room, it was Tony Evans' daughter who played the young wife in that film. I have heard Tony Evans speak in person on two different occasions. Both times I came out always very blessed and challenged, so I ordered the book. Incidentally, if you do not know this, Tony Evans' wife is currently battling cancer. And the last word that I got is that they have suspended chemo and radiation, so it's going to be a miracle of God. I would encourage you to pray for him. The title interested me because, thank you, Dale. All right. I may need that. Kingdom prayers, because I remember reading how Jesus always prayed kingdom prayers. So I read the book and felt the Holy Spirit's nudging that I would find some answers to some of my questions that I had regarding kingdom praying. And I did. Rather than having to pay proper credit to each time I mentioned something from the book, which you would do if you were writing a paper and you would footnote everything, but I say right at the beginning, much of the research, not all, but much of the research for the message comes from his book, Kingdom Prayer, and I recommend it to anybody for a more in-depth study. He makes a statement on the back cover of his book. Prayer is the most misunderstood and neglected aspect of the Christian life. It is estimated that most Christians pray somewhere between 3 and 5 minutes a day. Yet God has so arranged the world that there are things He will not do in a Christian's life apart from prayer. Now, that's pretty thought-provoking. So I think the question that has to be asked is, so why is prayer such a challenge then? He says real prayer, what I think he would describe as kingdom prayers, is hard work. Now, we all seem to agree on its importance, but we fall short when it comes to doing it. The thing that made me feel a little bit good, because I know this is a shortcoming for me, and it made me feel good that Evans, and I quote him, he says, It's a lot easier for me to preach about prayer than spend the same amount of time engaged in it. So I thought, well, if that happened to Tony Evans, then I guess that's okay. Why is it that something so critical to living a successful Christian life, and in fact our very relationship with God, is so difficult? Evans' take on this is this. It's because prayer links us to a realm that we are unfamiliar navigating. And the enemy of our soul knows we are in unfamiliar territory. Think about it. When we pray, we're talking to someone we can't see and someone who is generally not talking audibly back to us. And the fact is, as we live our lives, we lean heavily on our five basic senses of hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch. Prayer, on the other hand, operates in the realm of obedience based on faith and trust. Evans defines kingdom prayers, and you ought to write this down, folks. Kingdom prayers are the divinely authorized method, you could say God's authorized method, to access heaven's authority for earthly intervention. You really ought to write that down. I'll leave it up there for a minute. Somewhere I found a shorter version. I liked it, and I used it for the title of the message. It says the same thing. Touching heaven to change earth. These kinds of prayers, he says, invoke heaven into history, and the result is that God is welcomed into our lives. Now, a large reason that God allows negative things to come into our lives that we simply cannot fix is to show us they will only be resolved with kingdom intervention. Today we are facing in our state, I believe you'd agree with me, our nation, a seemingly overwhelming list of just such negative situations. And every day seems worse than the day before. Perhaps you are facing personal problems of such a nature, unsolvable apart from God's intervention. Evans uses what I thought was a great story to illustrate what he defines as the power and the promise of kingdom prayers. In all honesty, he sounds a little bit like me on his views of some family vacations. For example, his take on driving a long distance just to get to what he describes as a great big hole in the ground, the Grand Canyon, is not his favorite thing to do. The vacation that they were on in the book that he is using was another long drive. He lives in Texas, to another big hole in the ground, but this one is filled with a lot of water. It's a story of their family vacation trip to Niagara Falls and how he believes the whole experience parallels our relationship to prayer and how we experience God himself through kingdom prayer. How many of you here, Dave, have been to Niagara Falls? Okay, people. All right, if you have, I think the story will be more meaningful. He said they stayed in a hotel room on the Canadian side of the falls. It was night when they got there, and they checked into their room, and they turned on the lights and then opened the curtains. He said, I looked out on a floodlit spectacle and was overwhelmed with the magnificence, and I could only exclaim, wow. The next morning, the family took a little train to a small park right next to the top of the falls where the view was nothing but breathtaking. But even more so, the thunderous roar and the beautiful rainbow that you saw in the rising mist as you felt it on your face. Don't know if you can see it, but that's the park down there, part of the park where you can go and stand. You can get pretty close. You can start up that little rise there, and you can experience Niagara Falls. So he says, we had now seen the magnificence from the hotel room and then experienced a little bit of the wetness. But he said, I then noticed there's a third way to experience Niagara Falls. You can get on a boat. I don't know if you can see it down there in the middle. It's called the Maid of the Mist, and ride right close to the foot of the falls. Now here you don't get hit with a little mist, and even though you're given a raincoat, you get drenched by Niagara Falls. These people don't just see the falls and hear the falls, they experience Niagara Falls as close as is humanly possible without going over them in a barrel. Excuse me. He states that the three different experiences offered every visitor to Niagara Falls is in a way just like our relationship to prayer and our experience of God Himself. Some folks approach God from the hotel room of their hearts. They see Him at a distance, impressed, but not impacted. It's more of an image out the window. And in the spiritual realm of prayer, we might utter a word or two, but then move on. Some of us engage prayer from the park. A little closer, we stay a little longer. But we still don't allow the current to connect with us. Some folks refuse to settle for a hotel window or even a park experience. They want to get drenched by God's presence and overwhelmed by the power of His glory. And that's the other thing about Niagara Falls. Not only is it a sight to see, but it's also a source, like prayer, of great power. Did you know that 1/4 of the entire state of New York, as well as most of Ontario, Canada, are powered by these falls alone? These generating stations provide enough power to supply 3.8 million homes with electricity. The point is this. The choice of how we experience Niagara Falls is ours, but we don't get to choose the effect that it has on our lives. With regard to prayer, if we want the full power and the full promises of God's presence in prayer, we got to get close enough and get connected. Otherwise, it doesn't work very well, if at all. Like Max Lucado, Tony Evans, I believe, has the ability to paint pictures with words. Listen to this. For many Christians, prayer is like the national anthem before a sporting event. It gets the game going, but has little or no relevance on what will take place on the field. It is merely a routine. Much like praying for our food or praying before we go to sleep, which are good things to do, but so many times they are pretty much repetitions of the same words. Same old words about the same old things. Kingdom prayers go much deeper. As we said earlier, kingdom prayers are earth giving heaven permission to intervene in the reality down here. God loves them. God will honor them. But He waits for us to be asked to be connected with Him in prayer. And when we do, what power awaits? And let me tell you, just a side note, Satan does not want us to know the spiritual authority we will then have available to us. He never cares much about people going to church or saying a cute little prayer now and then or even reading the Bible. As long as he, Satan, and his demons are not exposed to the authority of kingdom-type prayers. In his book, Evans says, for many of us, prayer can seem boring. But if we could only truly grasp all that is happening in the invisible realm in response to kingdom prayers, if we could, He said prayer would become the priority of our lives. Prayer would be our first response, not the last. It would become the steering wheel of our lives, not the spare tire. There once was a lady who lived way out in the country, and she never had any electricity. Finally, the power company got electricity out to her and hooked it up to her house. After several months, they noticed that very little power was being used. So they visited her to see if there was a problem. When asked if she was using her power, she said, "Oh, yes. It's been extremely helpful." She said, "When it gets dark, I turn the lights on long enough to light my kerosene lantern, and then I shut it off." We'd all agree she didn't understand the use of power. In the same way, many of us do not understand the real power of prayer. And in order to experience God's maximum spiritual power, I think we need to have a better understanding of how it works. How do we get to the point where we're living in God's prayer power? By that, I mean the place where His answers are the sustaining force in our lives, the things that get us through day to day. I've known people like that. You've known people like that. Perhaps you are that kind of person. Once we begin to incorporate kingdom prayers into our lives, this will be such an encouragement as we begin to see their power and the effect that it has on us. The absolute first step to kingdom praying is we've got to know Jesus Christ personally. If we have never placed our faith and trust in Christ, we need to pray, confessing our need as a sinner of a Savior. And then we need to be willing to get drenched in His presence by maintaining an ongoing conversation with Him. As we stated earlier, when we look around at our world today, the moral and spiritual temperature is pretty dark. So it's easy to get discouraged. In Ephesians chapter 3, Sam read part of this, but look at verse 13. He says, "Therefore I ask you not to lose heart." One of the ways I'm trying to deal with that nowadays is I don't buy a newspaper and I don't watch TV news anymore. I guess you could say ignorance is bliss. In your personal lives, have you ever felt a little disheartened or defeated by various circumstances and situations? Again, there is so much today that surrounds us and causes us to lose heart and quit. It might be financial problems, family problems, issues, health issues, emotional distress. Continuing on in verse 14 to 16, Paul says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit." That could be prayed back to God, claiming those promises right there. That is part of kingdom praying. Praying God's Word back to Him. It says He fell on His knees. That was a humbling and serious prayer. What kind of power was he talking about here? Praying that would be available to people? It's the kind of power, this is pretty simple, folks, but profound. It's the kind of power that will enable us to no longer allow our circumstances to own us. Think about that for a minute. Think about how many times yesterday, the day before, last week, last month, you were in a situation where the circumstances were overwhelming you, or you felt that they were. Can you identify with that? Yeah. He was talking to weak people here who needed help because they didn't have the power to get out of the situation themselves. I don't know about you, but I can identify that. I mean, we ran the campground for 27 years up there, and Becky would, when we had problems, Becky would pray about them and leave them. When I had problems up there, I would pray about them and then pick them back up, just in case God needed a hand. How many nights we would go to bed, I'd have a sewer problem, okay, that the next day was going to, it was going to be quite a project. And it would keep me awake and keep me awake, trying to figure out how to overcome the circumstance. What am I going to do to overcome the circumstance? Finally, my tossing and turning, she'd say, "What is wrong?" And I'd tell her, "You know what's wrong." She said, "Let's pray about it then." We'd pray about it. 30 seconds later, she's deep breathing, which means she's gone to sleep. And all I could think of is, how dare she? And I'd toss and turn and toss and turn. She says, "What is the problem?" And I tell her. And she said, "Well, just tell me one thing. What can you do tonight that's going to fix that?" Nothing. Secondly, didn't we just pray about that? Yep. Then we gave them to God, didn't we? Yep. Back to sleep she goes. Churn and churn and churn. Overwhelmed by my circumstances. Through this prayer, we can overcome something and we can deal with the pain or find the answer. Through this prayer, Paul is saying to them and us, the answer is not on the outside. It's not going to be found in changing the situation, even though you think you might. It is based on the Spirit's work inside you. If you don't know it already, many times our efforts to change the outside situation or circumstance only leads to more frustration, discouragement, and causes us to lose heart. We finally realize it's a situation I in myself cannot change. Whoa. Time for a kingdom prayer. Invite heaven, touching heaven, to change earth. We wonder, where is the power when we're trying to do this and work it out in ourselves? Let me ask you, I bet most of you here have cell phones, right? Okay. Well, I got one passed down to me. I didn't want it because I didn't like the initial word that describes it, smartphone. So I knew that would leave me right out there. I don't know how long it took me to figure out how to turn it on and everything. But let me ask you, have you ever picked up your cell phone only to find there is no power left? I don't mean weak power, 18% left, 12%. Zero power. It's gone. You forgot to put it on the charger, and now it is, what I think this is the right word, powered down, am I correct? I'll never forget the first time it happened to me. I thought the phone had died, and I threw it away. And somebody said, "What are you doing?" They told me, Don't throw the phone away, dum-dum. You can't access your contacts. You can't dial a number. No one can dial in. I wanted to scream. In fact, I did holler into it. I shook the phone, and I pushed it even harder on the screen. How many of you do that with your remote when something doesn't work? You ever notice you push the button harder thinking something's going to happen? Well, everything I did, nothing happened. You know what? The only thing that happened? Except plugging it in. Boop! Next morning, all is good. What happened was something took place on the inside. It got charged up, and it was good to go the next morning. Verse 19 of chapter 3 says, Paul is saying to them, I wish you could experience. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand. We can't comprehend it. Can you understand how God so loved you that he sent his son to die on a cross for you? I can't. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. There's another scripture that you could pray. Turn into a prayer. God, help me to experience the love of Jesus Christ. I can't understand it. So that I might be made complete with all the fullness of life and power of God. That's a kingdom prayer, folks, right there. When we are really tied into Christ and His love for us, He creates the depth we need to receive the enormous amount of power He has for us through prayer. Evans, in his book, said, God's not looking for His children to have academic knowledge about who He is. He wants us to have the capacity to experience Him operating without limits in our lives through the process called prayer. Get drenched in His presence as we head for the finish line this morning. I know that's the part you really like to hear. But each of us have Jesus places in our lives where He's most welcome. Places that are tidy and clean. I'll call them our Sunday church rooms. But Jesus needs to feel welcome in all the rooms of our heart. And the reason is because that He will only address what He has access to. If we want to keep control of things ourselves, He'll let us do it. But if we want to have Him help us in these situations, and we ask Him for it, He'll do that too. This is giving Jesus the ownership and rulership over every room in our lives. This will be the only way we can ever know the depth of His love spoken of there that Paul talks about. When we allow God to dwell in all the rooms of our hearts and His power is allowed to freely flow within us, it will be like the water over Niagara. The power. We will be connected to a source that provides more power and promise than we could ever possibly imagine. Hard to understand, is it not? When you prayed a certain way for 20, 30, 40 years, and now we're talking about a concept I almost never heard about before. They require thinking out of the box. But just because we don't understand kingdom prayers doesn't mean their power does not exist. Keep in mind, can you imagine what Chief Sitting Bull's thoughts might have been if he saw a 747 flying over his teepee? Yeah. Yeah, or what about George Washington turning on the White House TV and seeing Neil Armstrong take one small step for mankind and one giant leap for mankind. Yeah. Requires a little outside of the box thinking. In his book, Evans uses a parallel example of what's to try and show what's available to us and why we don't access it. He uses gift cards to demonstrate what he's trying to say. Gift cards are the new craze for gift giving. They're easy gifts when we're either running behind, that's me, or cannot think of a more appropriate gift. Becky tries not to give them because she thinks they're too impersonal. I love them. I love to get them. You know why? Because I get to choose exactly what I want. It does make me a little nervous when I go online to Amazon, my account, and I want to order a gift card, and the verbiage that comes up says, "Welcome back, Meredith." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So I go get my credit card statement. Oh, I don't remember that, and I don't remember that. But anyway, getting back to just gift cards, do you know on average approximately $1 billion worth of gift cards go unused? B is in billion. So I'm thinking, wow, restaurant owners and retailers must love them. I mean, they got the dough and they got the goods. But how must God feel knowing there are so many of His promises in His words that He's given to us and we never claim them. There were examples of some up there that we read. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that all of God's promises have been stamped. Yes, in Christ Jesus, we in turn need to but claim them through prayer. They've been stamped, yes, by Christ. We need to just claim them and say amen to the glory of God. When prayer is predicated on what God has already said, we can be assured of His answer. So the second critical step in the process, we need to know Christ personally, and we need to know His Word. We need to know what it says. The only way we can do that is to be in His Word. Psalm 35:14 says, "The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who follow Him and reveal His promises to them." Folks, the bottom line here is this. When we discover His promises in Word and pray them back to Him, we can say, "Lord, You have said in Your Word." Okay? The foundation of kingdom prayer is knowing what He's already said. Another just side note here, another important thing to know. We need to remember that whatever is plaguing us today in our day-to-day walk in the physical realm emanates from the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6:12. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world." This is a critical thing to understand, folks. If we never address the spiritual cause or wage our war in the spiritual realm, we'll never get to the cure. And again, let me repeat, Satan wants you to forget this. He does not want us to understand the power and the authority we have in prayer. No, his plan is to have us continue to believe the problem is our spouse, our relative, our friend, our boss, our neighbor, or whatever. A point of note, when there is a delay in your prayers being answered, don't ever make the assumption that God didn't hear them or doesn't really care. Never the case. Make the assumption, Tony Evans says, based on his word, the word of God, on his word, that there is a battle taking place in the heavenlies between the good and evil. Excuse me. I may need that water. Thank you. Make the assumption based on his word that there is a battle taking place between good and evil. Our prayers can make all the difference in the world as to how quickly that battle will play out. But don't forget, because God's word is always a threat to Satan, he'll block heaven from reaching earth. And how he does that? Keeping you from praying. Keeping you from praying God's word. Pastor Evans says, kingdom prayer is calling forth history to what God has already determined from eternity. It's bringing into the physical what God has predetermined in the spiritual. But also be sure you understand that we cannot just call anything we want into being. The secret to answered prayer is always alignment with God. And that is what we're doing when we pray His word back to Him. We'll know we're praying in accordance to His will. We'll know that we'll be in alignment with Him. We need to be there. And that is actually the third step. I've talked already enough about it. In kingdom praying. Praying the Word of God. Praying using Scripture. This would require another whole message. In fact, I'm preaching that message tonight at the fellowship, but a whole new message. Perhaps sometime Pastor Steve will let me preach it here on how to go about praying God's Word. G. Jesus said, when we reach this level of intimacy with God, kingdom prayers will come naturally. And they will be in Evans's word, and I love this. He says, when we reach that level of intimacy, kingdom prayers will come naturally. He says, it will be as simple as holding up 5 loaves and 2 fish and thanking God in advance for feeding 5,000 people. In advance. In advance. Folks, I close. God has given us 2 options. The first one, we can leave Him out of the picture in our prayers. Or we can access His wisdom through kingdom prayer overall. The choice is ours. But the results are not. Invite Him into our prayer life through kingdom prayer. Watch Him transform your life with a power seldom seen. Certainly not in my life. In my life. Oh yes. Kingdom prayer. Touching heaven. To change earth. Amen. Father, thank You so much for Your word, Your teaching. On it, Lord, I in Your word. Lord, I would pray that perhaps I know in my own life what I wanted out of these sessions on Kingdom Prayer was to begin to be able to tap into that power that's available, has always been available to me, just never tapped into it. Never getting intimate enough, I guess close enough, in Your word enough maybe, to see what You have to say about this, to see what's available to me. Lord, my prayer has been right along that there will be a change in my prayer life. And today as I stand before these folks, I hope that I can kindle or rekindle an interest in learning how to pray kingdom prayers. That our own lives would be changed, our community would be changed, our state and nation would be changed. All things we are not going to be able to solve ourselves and will become frustrating as the world about us continues to get darker and darker. The answer, I believe You are screaming at us, is to seek My face. Learn to pray My word and then watch. Then watch and experience a new level of power in your prayer life. That's my prayer. And I thank You so much praying these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.